Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there are not, what I have told you, that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, Philip, that you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. This week, many of us have been watching the Pope's visit to this country, his trip to Washington, D.C., and his now being in New York City. This morning, he went to where the World Trade Center was and prayed there, and this afternoon, he'll be having Mass at Yankee Stadium. It's a great thing to have the successor of Peter, our source of unity, come to our country and bring us hope and comfort. And that's what the Pope has been doing. If you've looked at any of the talks that he has given, unfortunately, the media are talking about most of the wacky politicians. They're not paying one bit of attention to what the Pope has to say, which is pretty much normal. But if you listen to Sacred Heart Radio, you've heard what the Pope has to say. There's my cheap plug for the day. But it's clear he has come to offer us comfort. He knows what the Lord says in John's Gospel. We have troubled hearts. Our hearts are troubled because of the war. Our hearts are troubled because of the economy. Our hearts are troubled because of political leadership or future political leadership. Our hearts are troubled because of family problems, work problems, you name it. Our hearts are troubled. It may even be troubled in the context of our faith. We're wondering, I pray, I do good things, and yet I'm still going through a hard time. That troubles us. But what we have to remember is that Christ came for us not to make our life easy, not to make our life comfortable. He came to us, sent by the Father, to save us. He came to us so that we have the ultimate goal of all of our life, and that is to get to heaven. The Father sent the Son. The Son has come and taken on our human nature, and in doing that, he has taken on our troubled hearts. He knows our fears. He knows our worries. He knows that emptiness that we feel sometimes. But the Lord has come to say, I know what that feels like. And when you read especially the Passion of Christ, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a troubled heart. And in the midst of all that, he tells the disciples at the Last Supper in this part of John's Gospel that there is no reason to have a troubled heart. That God, the Father, and the Son are one. They are both fully God. And because they are fully God, he has a plan. And that plan is for our salvation. That plan is for us to get to heaven. And God started that plan, and he's not going to stop until it's finished. Sometimes it seems like it's hidden. But even though it's hidden, it's still consciously working itself out. The problem with the plan isn't the one who planned it. That's God. The problem with the plan is usually us. Because God says, for this plan to carry out, people, you have to work with me here. You have to recognize the difficulties are going to come, but in the midst of it, I am always present. I am always going to be there to guide you, to support you, to encourage you, to give you comfort. Not to let you be settled down or to do it all for you, but rather to show you how to do it. To show you how to find happiness in this life. To show you how to sacrifice and obey in this life so that we can enjoy heavenly life. That's what he's come to do. And the Pope has come to us to give us that message. The Pope never preaches himself. The Pope preaches Jesus Christ. And when you've heard him speak, every time he speaks, the word Jesus Christ is on his lips, because he knows that one thing that oftentimes we forget. And that is, there is one true way in life. One way that deals with reality as it is. One way that deals with life as it is. It doesn't cover it over. It doesn't make an illusion of it. But that way is not a plan. That way is not a map. That way is a person. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And if we want to not have a troubled heart, then we need to recognize he is the only one who can fulfill us. It's that simple. And so the Pope has come to this country to remind us of that. You know, part of St. Luke's Gospel says the job of Peter is to strengthen the brethren. To strengthen us, to encourage us. If anyone knew how hard it was to be a Christian, it was St. Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times. He was in trouble more than he was out of trouble, if you read him in the gospel. For every good thing he did 3 stupid things. We know what Peter has done. And now Peter's successor has come to us in Pope Benedict XVI. And he knows the hardships. He knows the troubles. And he says the answer to the whole world is Christ. He told that to the United Nations, that to fight evil, to fight hatred, the answer is Christ. To recognize that all of us possess an innate human dignity because of how God created us. And he created us for great things. He created us for holiness. He created us for joy. But yet, as a result of sin, he also knows that there is the reality of the cross. There is the reality of suffering. And yet in the midst of all that, we see Christ conquering it all. That from the cross to the tomb, he was raised from the dead to show us that life has the final word. That there is nothing in this life that cannot be fixed. It's that simple. Christianity says that. If we're broken, if we're confused, if we're in terrible sin, we can have this fixed by Christ. There is no sin that can't be forgiven. There's no bond that cannot be repaired. That's what Christ teaches us. But for that to happen, he says, it's not going to come without some effort on our part. It's not going to come without us looking at our life and saying, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, then we had better be ready to change. We had better be ready to shape our life around him and what he has taught us and how he has shown us how to do it. And now he has given us over the centuries, over 2 millennia, saints, holy men and women who have shown us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they've lived that with the poor, they've lived that with the rich, they've lived it with believers and non-believers, men and women and children. It's all been lived there. And he says, there is the example, the saints of the church, who are our companions, who are our intercessors at this moment in heaven. They join us at this Eucharistic sacrifice, knowing our troubles. And with Christ, they pray for us, to strengthen us, to give us hope that things can be fixed, that things can be improved, that God's love will conquer everything. But for that to happen, we need to own it ourselves. We need to recognize, as St. Peter says in the second reading, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart by God to do the works of the Lord. Which means we need to be a people who try to bring about reconciliation, not division. We need to be a people who practice forgiveness, who practice generosity and charity, even to our enemies. We love our enemies, as the Lord says, that there is more hope for their conversion in love than there is in hate. The Lord teaches us that. He teaches us that in our relationships with one another, that anything that gets in the way of the love of God is something that must be done away with. But when we have biases and prejudices, when we are unwilling to forgive, we are saying that God's love is not as important as my vengeance. That's a form of idolatry. And that's what gives us the troubled hearts. Our hearts are troubled because we simply refuse to let Christ do his work. To let the Holy Spirit reshape us, to show us reality, life as it really is. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And in the midst of all that, Jesus says, I am there. I am your companion throughout all this. Because if you're like me, you know when you have a troubled heart, you're the only one that's going through this. You're the only one that's experienced this. And you feel very alone with no one to share your anguish with. Or sometimes when it's happy, no one to share your joy with. But the Lord says that's not the case. Because of the gift of faith, we know that Christ is always with us. We know that he will never abandon us. We know that he will help us carry the burdens that we have in life. We know that he will intensify the joyful moments when we experience the love of another, which focuses and mirrors, though imperfectly, the love of God. And if we do all of that, we open up our hearts, we dispose ourselves to receive the gifts and the grace that God gives us every day. That's what he says. He says, God has that plan. The Father and the Son are one. They have one plan for us. Jesus is that plan. Will we follow him? Will we listen to him? Will we take the time and sit back and truly concentrate on Christ? Focus our attention on him, on his life, on his love, on his church, on his sacraments. And in focusing our attention on that, not being distracted by the stuff around us, but to truly focus, to take ourselves out of autopilot and really look at this as it is and let it touch us. If we do that, it will change us. If we do that, it will unlock that grace that is laying dormant in us. Because God comes to us every time we receive his body and blood. And one of the things that that teaches us is receiving the Holy Eucharist increases God's love in our heart. And if you leave here and you don't have that love, if you leave here and promptly be nasty to someone cutting them off as they leave the parking lot, it's not because you didn't receive God's grace, it's because we weren't paying attention when he was pouring it down. We need to pay attention. We need to take ourselves off that autopilot and say, this is what God has taught us. And now after teaching us by his words, he's going to show us how much he loves us by giving us his body and his blood. He paid a great price for it. Our price is not quite so great. He gives it to us out of his love. But that gift calls us to be generous. That if Christ has given us his body and blood, what have we done with our body and blood? Are we selfish? Are we hoarding it? Or are we being generous? Are we sharing our faith? Are we sharing our love? Or are we closed off? So if we're closed off, it's not because the grace wasn't given. It's because we're wasting it. And so as the Pope has come this week to tell us those things, and many, many more things, he's talked us to death this week. He's one talk after another. If you had a chance to read them, there's tons and tons of things to reflect upon. But it all comes down to what I said at the beginning. The Father and the Son have a plan. They want us to share life with them in heaven. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God sends us that grace that we can do that. And so the Pope, taking the words of Christ to heart, says, don't be troubled by this world. Recognize that the world to come is far greater. And this world, we not just survive in it, but we can thrive in it. Because Christ is our constant companion. Christ is carrying with us these burdens. Christ is making our joys more real. And if we accept that in faith, and we live it out in hope, then the love that we receive from it becomes not only very easy to give, it becomes our only choice to do. We must give it. We would never consider holding it back. And if we do that, then the Pope would have succeeded in one great thing, encouraging us not to stay who we are, but to do greater things, to do marvelous things, to show that God is alive in this world and that Jesus Christ is the answer to every question that we may have about this life and the life to come.